Talk Radio Europe.
Friday the 25th of May, it's 9 minutes past 11. Time to catch up on the week's travel news with Sean at ABTA in the UK. Morning, Sean.
Morning, Bill.
Long weekend for you, bank holiday, must be raining
indeed.
Then.
Well, we've had this kind of really bizarre weather reports coming out. Apparently on Monday it was supposed to be the hottest bank holiday ever. And then change to cloudy with storms. So we'll just wait and see, really. So I suspect it's more likely to be cloudy with storms.
Absolutely. Cool. All right. Well, let's start in Magaluf and a story about some Brits who did exactly the wrong thing, really.
It's just incredible, really. Mm. I mean, every now and again, we have a kind of rogues gallery at ABTA, like who's the most embarrassing customer that we've ever had to deal with. And I think Mr. Brandon McCahill has certainly taken the biscuit this year. He was on holiday with one of his friends and their girlfriends. They were staying in a hotel in Magaluf, and as far as I can tell, one of his party tricks is setting fire to aerosols and whatever. And he decided to do that by the looks of it. And what did he do? He set fire to his hotel room, which blazed rather quickly and spread to the one next door. As kind of idiotic behaviour, this is really quite ridiculous. We deal with people jumping from balcony to balcony, just being generally silly and drunk, but this really is ridiculous. Well, he and his friends were arrested, quite rightly so, for arson. They've been fined between them €30,000, which, by the sounds of it, they can't afford to pay, not all of
what
them
a
anyway.
Surprise.
So at the moment, they're in jail in Mallorca.
Wow.
But I don't know how this has played out in the Spanish press, if it's been a big story, but it certainly has here. It is really, well, I know I said I've dealt with some ridiculous behaviour in my time, but this is, I think, the worst.
Yeah, they caused $125,000 worth of damage, apparently.
Exactly. Well, hopefully that will be covered by the hotel's insurance, but that's not really the point, is it? Should never have happened. It's anyway, so apologies on behalf of the British travel industry to the people of Mallorca. That should, absolutely ridiculous, but there we are.
Mm. Right. Now, we've heard all about splitting up families on flights, but now it's being said that could be a risk to safety.
Yeah, this is something that's come out with, that people are being told more and more that they have to pay for seat allocations rather than just getting done automatically. It's a way of boosting revenue. I think that's pretty clear to say. But there's always been an issue with, which is guidelines from the Civil Aviation Authority, and I'm sure that will be true of other equivalents throughout Europe and the rest of the world, that if you are a family with children under the age of 14, you should not be split up. I mean, it doesn't mean you're necessarily all in the same row, but you need to be, certainly your kids will need to be in front of you or to the side. Because very simple reason being, if you have to evacuate a plane, I mean, if your kids are at the front of the plane, you're at the back, what's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to try and get hold of your kids, which could be absolutely disastrous if you're trying to evacuate a plane. So basically, if you are a family, you shouldn't have to pay for seat allocation. Your kids will be put next to you, and if any airline splits you up, that's a pretty major safety issue, and it should not happen. So anyway, the Royal Aeronautical Society has put out a statement saying precisely that airlines should not be splitting people up. Now, if anybody listening, if you've got kids and that if an airline does do that to you, you can insist that you're put next to each other. It is a very major safety issue. So I can agree more with the Royal Aeronautical Society. And the CAA, Civil Aviation Authority, is currently doing a general investigation of how airlines are treating customers in terms of charging for services and things like cancellation fees, etc. So I know they'll be looking at this very closely, and they would have almost certainly said behind the scenes to airlines, look, you know, if you want to charge for seat allocations, you can do that. But you must not split up families. So
interesting.
It is very serious. Anyway.
The group you mentioned there, the Royal Aeronautical Society, have done a kind of report on this, haven't they, about evacuation of aircraft. And there's an interesting one that they are recommending potentially the locking of overhead bins.
To stop people taking their bags. Exactly.
Because, there have been several examples, haven't there, of crashes where people have gone for their luggage rather than getting off the plane.
I know. I remember there was a situation with a flight in India where they did, and I saw a video. People, quite apart from people taking their luggage out from their bins, people were filming it as well. It's like, the plane's on fire.
Oh, my goodness.
Get off the plane.
Me.
But you're right. Well, I know, it's just human nature, isn't it, really, that you think, oh, my camera's in there, I'll get it out. No, you don't have a lot of time to get out of a plane if you're ever in that horrible situation, which of course is very unlikely you will be, but it's still a possibility. So safety first, get off the plane, forget everything else.
Absolutely. So Lonely Planet have brought out their best places to visit in Europe, and I have to confess, I've not heard of the first one.
Well, that's why I wanted to talk about it. It's a place, I think, you know, I talk about a lot about Italy, I go there a lot, but this is my favourite part of Italy. It's in the north of Rome, not to be fair, probably 100 miles north of Rome. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's an area called Emilia Romagna, which people don't really go to. If you go, where do you go? To go to Italy, you go to Tuscany, Rome,
Venice,
all the old faith. They're lovely places and they're well worth visiting. But Emilia Romagna is not much visited. Now, its capital is a city called Bologna. I think you all have heard of that, Bolognese sauce. Yeah. And it is actually, it's the oldest university in Europe. It's a really fascinating city. It's very lively because there are lots of students there still. And it's got the best food in Italy. And if you have Bolognese sauce in Italy, it bears very little relation to what we cook ourselves.
I'll bet.
So Bologna, I highly recommend it for 2 or 3 days. It's a lovely place. But near there as well, there's other really, really attractive cities. A place called Ferrara, which is, I think, about half an hour away from Bologna. So Bologna's a good place to base yourself in. Another place called Modena, which is where I went there with my girlfriend a few years ago, and she just fell in love. She said it was most...
With somebody else, presumably.
Well, I think she was quite close to dumping me at the time. Because basically, it's where all the employees of Ferrari live. So you can imagine they're pretty well off. They really are. Yeah. So it's a pretty stunning place and very, very affluent. And that's nothing about this area. It is very well off. So I mean, that's not in itself a good thing, but it does mean that it's very attractive and well looked after.
Interesting.
Well, a couple other places I mentioned. Rimini, which is a seaside resort. Again, in Emilia-Romagna, well worth visits, where Federico Fellini was from. And lastly, a place called Ravenna, which was at one stage the capital of the Roman Empire. And it has incredibly stunning Byzantine churches with really... I've gone on a bit here, but I really...
That's interesting.
Really strongly agree with the Lonely Planet on this one. And again, not much visited by British tourists. So,
well, the top 10 that they mention is interesting, isn't it? So this is their top 10 destinations to visit in Europe in 2018. At number 10, it's Tirana in Albania.
Yep.
Been there?
No. I must admit, we often talk about Albania as the problem it's got. I think it's quite an attractive city, but country and city, but it's... it was under communist rule for quite some time, so the infrastructure is pretty ropey. That's the only problem it's got.
Slovenia, the Vipava Valley?
Been there. Yeah, okay. I agree with that.
Okay, Vilnius, Lithuania?
Yeah, indeed. Haven't been there, but I've heard very good things about it. And also one of the things about the Baltic states is that they're very good value. They're not expensive once you get there. So,
Number 7 is in Greece. It's the small Cyclades.
Yeah, well, I think they're very famous islands.
I think I had that once, but the doctor cleared it up with some tablets. Number 6 is quite surprising, Dundee in Scotland.
Yeah, that was quite amazing. I think they always try and put one, as you say, surprising UK destination just to get some coverage. But, it's an attractive city.
Nice cake.
Very friendly.
Nice cake indeed. In Dundee. Yep. Number 5, Provence. Well, that's fair enough. That's a shoo-in, I would have thought. Yep. Now, 4 is really odd. Kosovo.
Why? Well, actually, no, not necessarily. It's got some pretty stunning countryside. So, and it's not that difficult to get to. I think you get direct flights into the capital. So,
somewhere different. The Netherlands, Friesland 3. Yeah,
that's actually featured a few times. It's in the north of Holland. Okay. So, yeah.
And then the only Spanish one in the top 10 is Cantabria. At number 2.
I'm surprised it's, not higher actually, but actually, fair, Emilia Romagna is still my favourite, but Spain.
Very interesting.
Got to have somewhere in Spain, haven't you?
Fabulous. Well, I hope you enjoy your long weekend. Hope it doesn't be stormy for you, and we'll speak to you next week. Okay, cheers to you, and all the best.